Hey guys, welcome to the show, and we're going to get things going here on this July 22nd, 2020 with our From the Vault version of the Wrestling Nostalgia Show as we look back at WWE's top five pay-per-views ever, in my estimation. So an extremely subjective list, of course, but that's what makes this fun. So we're going to get that going and much more right after this. TheBookie.co is a free daily sports betting newsletter that provides sports bettors with sports betting tips, tools, resources, and strategies. Each day, TheBookie sends you an email with all the sports betting information you need to know for the day. Join the newsletter for free at TheBookie.co. Get free sports betting tools, resources, and free sports picks every single day directly to your inbox. Just visit www.TheBookie.co, that's TheBookie.co, and sign up for free today. That's www.TheBookie.co.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is July 22nd, 2020, and it's a From the Vault version today. One that I haven't revisited in a while. It's actually been over a year now, and if you haven't caught it, I think this is a good one for you to dive into. And again, a very subjective list with the WWE's top five pay-per-views ever. Certainly a very subjective list, but I go through this again. This was published originally on June 16th, 2019. So if you hear me talk about present day things, that was 13 months ago. So keep that in mind. But I think it's a fun one because top five lists are always fun to try to defend and to battle with one another on why your top five is better than theirs. So that's what's on the plate for today. I will be back on Sunday hosting the Week in Review, the flagship show, with none other than Anthony DeMarco, who is going to join me as we discuss SmackDown, we discuss Raw, and all the rumors that are probably going to be coming out over the next few days, as really it seems like the Wrestling Newswire heats up towards the end of the week. So we'll definitely discuss that. And then tomorrow, you can expect two more shows for NXT and AEW, hosted by Zach Smith. For your NXT, and then Greg and Brian cover the AEW side of things. So really, really good content coming the next day. And then your full SmackDown review comes to you on Saturday. So you have three shows before you get to my show on Sunday. So again, guys, if you want to, and I keep putting this out there, if you want to send us a voicemail, that's the way to really get your voice on the show. And that number is 518-952-0247. That's 518-952-0247. Nobody picks up that line. It will ring, you know, 3-4 times and then go to voicemail, and you can leave a voicemail, which is a question, a comment, anything about wrestling that you want to get off your chest or ask the show, ask me, ask another host. That's how you do it. You can also still email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com if you'd like to send a voicemail that way, or just send questions that way. So it's up to you guys, but I want to make this more interactive. It's fun. So, all right, enough rambling. I'm going to dive into and present you guys this show that aired 13 months ago about WWE's top five pay-per-views ever. I hope you enjoy, and I'll talk to you all soon. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Sunday, June 16th, 2019. Wow, is there a lot going on right now? And not just in the world of wrestling. Not just in the world of wrestling, because there's a lot going on with the podcast. There's a lot going on with the website. There's a lot going on with this show and everything else, and writers, and things are going crazy. But it's a good time to be a part of this show and to watch it grow, help it grow. And it's much appreciated to everybody who has supported the show throughout the, I can say, years now. years? Because this show has been actually alive for the past 2 years. Prior to this, I did have a show that was not called WWE Podcast, but it was wrestling and fitness and kind of some other things that I didn't have a clear direction on, which is probably why it didn't do well. But you know what? To be honest with you, I didn't take it seriously. And I think that now that I'm taking this seriously as not just a side gig, but more of like kind of a second full-time job that I have, and that's not a bad thing. Trust me, I would like to make this in place of the actual full-time job that I have. But today's a cool show, but before we get to that and before we get to the top five pay-per-views of all time, of course, this is an extremely, extremely subjective list, and I'm sure that nobody will agree with me out there 100%. And some of you may say, what? That's in your top five? Why? I'm sure I'll get hammered on Twitter and people will ask me why. This is just my subjective list. There's no definitive list of... There's no official record of the ultimate top five pay-per-views of all time. It's always subjective, right? So I'd love to hear your comments, though. Give me your top five. You can always hit me up on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. You guys know the deal there. Or email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear your list and why. I really would, because I'm sure that there are pay-per-views I'm not thinking about. I didn't look at every pay-per-view that was ever created by WWE. I didn't have the time to do that, and it would just be laborious. So I just did some digging online and went through my own head and jumped back in time and decided which pay-per-views were the most noteworthy and significant and the best of all time. And I guess you first have to define what best means, because you could say that the best means the best wrestling matches or the best attraction matches or the most financially successful, or there's a number of ways to define best, which is subjective in and of itself. So to make your top five list is of pay-per-views of all time, again, it all depends on what you mean by best. And so hopefully you guys will get a little bit of an enjoyment out of this, and It of course is a very subjective deal. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. But before I do, there are some things I have to talk about that have to deal with this show, because it's super cool. Number one, I'm bringing on a bunch of writers to the website. So it's not just going to be my opinions that you guys are going to see in text. It's going to be various people that I have communicated with and have a good background in writing, passion for wrestling. And honestly, that's the two key things that I'm looking for. Of course, for now, it's an unpaid position, but as this show grows, that could absolutely change. But for the time being, I'm going to be asking those who are interested to shoot me an email. I've pretty much filled the few spots that I was looking for. So if you get in touch with me and say that you'd love to contribute, I'll probably get back to you. But as of this moment, it looks like we might have all the positions filled for that spot. But hey, feel free to reach out. Things change, people change their minds, so forth and so on, right? So definitely feel free to reach out to me. And of course, we have our three co-hosts that are locked in. And this week will be Anthony DeMarco's first official co-hosting gig on this show, as he is the third in the rotating three of cast members that are on this show as co-hosts. So I'm going to be joining him this Thursday to discuss all the happenings in WWE. And also, as you guys know, WWEpodcast.com has gotten a complete facelift. I've done some tweaking and I've done some upgrades myself after I paid somebody to do it, because I'm not that smart in coding. I don't understand how it all works, but I did end up contracting this out, and I think that he did a great job. So I've been working on the things that I can work on and figure out behind the scenes to do. So I know the homepage was a little bit messed up over the weekend. I just realized that. I fixed it. So the homepage should now be resolved and back on track. But you will see those articles from those folks, and occasionally me. I might post an editorial, if you will, on the opinions section of the website. Podcasts will obviously be podcasts, and videos, as I said last week, our videos are just transformed or mutated from a MP3 format to a video format that's put on my YouTube channel and then put back on my site. So again, as always, I know I always say this, but it's true. I will be eventually doing video, which is why it's there. Just kind of a proactive move by myself to get that link there and live and good to go. So, more importantly, beyond that, beyond the writers, beyond the website being implemented and upgraded in a huge way, I will be this week I will be doing, let's see, how many shows am I doing here? So today I'll be doing at least five straight days of shows. So from now until Thursday night will cap off my final show for the week. You will hear me every single day. And this is a trial run because typically I just do shows on Sunday and Thursday. But this week we will be doing an experiment. I'm doing an experiment for myself to see how things go statistically, monetarily, and feedback from you folks, just to see, are you tired of hearing from me? How do you want me to switch things up? I mean, right now, here's my thinking, and I've did a little bit of notepad taking and all that stuff this afternoon. What's going to happen is I'll continue to do my wrestling nostalgia on Sunday, and Monday will start to transition into more top fives of maybe top five moments of WrestleMania, top five matches at the Royal Rumble, or top five Rumble winners, top five. You know, I'll do a lot of top fives or lists, if you will. And then on Tuesday, it'll be a review of Monday Night Raw. And Wednesday will be a review of Tuesday Night SmackDown. And then Thursday, obviously, is going to be the co-hosting gig that I have with my awesome three co-hosts for the show, in which we will just discuss anything and everything about that week in wrestling and probably more. So that's kind of the lineup. So I hope you guys enjoy it. It's going to be a big change. It's a lot more time on my end, but in place of that, I'm going to be relieving myself of my other job that I have and just seeing how this goes and seeing if it can actually take the place of that other thing that I was doing, which I don't know why it's a secret. I'm an Uber and Lyft driver, and I'm trying to see if this is more worth my time because it's actually approaching that, or if I should continue driving or not. But it would be damn cool to make this in place of that, because I'd rather be sitting here talking to you guys, talking wrestling, and rather than being on the road, risking my life, paying gas, driving around people I don't want to drive around. So this is a much better deal. So I'm going to do a bit of an experiment this week. So I appreciate any help you guys can give me. I mean, you guys know how to help the show. It's easy. Just give me a 5-star rating and review. And we are absolutely everywhere. I'm not even going to list everywhere. We are just so many places. It's crazy. So anyway, so that's the other thing. And one more little footnote that I can't give details, and I'm not trying to be mysterious or annoying because I can't tell you. But there is something that could be coming down the line that's pretty damn cool for this show. And I really wish I could give you more. I just can't, because if it's not official, I don't want to tell you what it is and then have things fall through and then I look like an idiot, right? You're just like, you know, I don't want to look like a fool if this falls through. So I will just say that keep your eyes and ears open. It would be a pretty cool thing for this show to have on its resume. I'll just leave it at that. And if it doesn't happen, doesn't go through, you'll never hear me talk about it again. And you'll be like, oh, what was that thing? And it, you know, who cares, right? Because it didn't happen. So I will just say, keep your eyes and ears peeled. Trust me, you will know if I tell you what it is. And I just wish I could. I don't want to tell you and then look like an idiot. That's it. So, all right. Well, guys, let's get into the top five WWE pay-per-views of all time. And starting at number five is WrestleMania 30. Now, when you look at this card, and when you think about WrestleMania 30, you think about one thing, right? We all think about Daniel Bryan, who defeated Batista and Randy Orton in a triple threat match, obviously making Batista tap out, and Daniel Bryan having the moment of his career. And while the rest of the card, I'll be honest, I mean, honestly, name beyond Daniel Bryan and beyond Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, does anybody remember the rest of the card? Think about it. I mean, Don't Google it. Don't Wikipedia it. But you may say, why the hell are you picking a pay-per-view in which there's really only two matches that are of any importance? Here's why. Because Undertaker Brock Lesnar not only was shocking and just unbelievable. I remember sitting there and in my apartment, how many, 5 years ago now? And just going, and there was just that silence that fell over the arena or the stadium. And you're like, no. Someone's coming out. Somebody's coming out. The referee is going to restart the match. Somebody's going to restart. Somebody's going to interfere. Something's going to happen where it's just, no, come on. That can't happen. Like that. But as the seconds ticked on and the minutes ticked away, you were just forced to face the realization that the Undertaker and his streak are no more. It was just a moment that you'll never forget. And you can't compare it to 9/11, where were you when? But in the world of wrestling and fantasy environment, everybody remembers where they were the moment that they saw that three count hit the mat. It was absolutely stunning. Just in that moment, and 5 years later, I'm still shocked that they did it. I still don't believe they should have. I don't think that there are many people who believe they should have. And the reason is because Brock Lesnar is not the future of WWE. He may have been credentially the guy to make it feel real that he could have beaten and should have beaten The Undertaker. But when you look back at the past 5 years, who have they gotten Brock Lesnar the rub for? He's not your future. He held the championship hostage for years, basically. Who did he give the rub to? Because if that was the logic, and I'm sure it was, well, Brock, we know Brock's not the future, but he's got the stats. He's the most believable to beat Undertaker. And, you know, We'll sign him to a long-term deal, and you know we'll get him the younger stars get the rub off of him, build new stars off of him. Well, that didn't happen, and you can bet your bottom dollar that the logic was to have Roman Reigns eventually be the one to take down Brock for the championship at WrestleMania 31. And guess what? He didn't, because of fan backlash. When you look back, regardless of whether we agreed with this outcome or not, and I did not, and I still don't, a half a decade later, it was so significant that it has to be in the top five list of the best WrestleManias in terms of people talking about it and social media going insane. I wish this show existed back then. I really do. It would have been an amazing conversation with you folks and with co-hosts and everything else, but obviously this show didn't exist. So that has to be a piece of the argument. I mean, you may say, well, that's not the best. And no, it was not the best match. Undertaker was not at his best in that match. He got a concussion. He ended up collapsing backstage. We know the story. He went to the hospital. But it was shocking. So that's number one. Obviously, Daniel Bryan. Look, I don't think that we can underscore Daniel Bryan's win in that match. Why? Because Daniel Bryan wasn't even supposed to be there. That was the first time in which fans were educated to feel as if they have the control of the storylines. And you know what? To a degree, they should. And since that time, Vince McMahon has, while he didn't want to put Daniel Bryan in the main event, he was forced to put him in there. And forced to book him to win. Had to. But where this began was Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee and the 17-second loss to Sheamus at WrestleMania. And Daniel Bryan coming from the Indies. And he joined the Nexus, right? And he got suspended or fired for choking out Justin Roberts with a camera cord or whatever. And gets hired back. And just the whole story it's such a feel-good story and a story in which fans can feel as if they contributed in a major way to make this moment happen. It was one of the more organic and feel good moments in WrestleMania history. You could say, oh, The Rock and Austin. Of course, they were amazing. Great rivalry. Maybe the best of all time. But when you think about what WWE was before then, of having stars be told, have WWE and Vince McMahon tell you who the stars are, this was one of the moments in which the fans pushed back and told Vince McMahon in no uncertain terms, no, Batista and Randy Orton are not our guys. Daniel Bryan is our guy. There was just so much genuine love for Daniel Bryan that was never there and wasn't there for a long time in WWE. And having Daniel Bryan come in and do what he did and the fans just get behind him every step of the way, obviously the Yes Movement, which was incredibly successful. You had a guy that the fans could get behind. He was relatable. He was very good on the mic, very good in the ring. He looked like the common man. He didn't look like your typical Randy Orton mold, Batista mold, the typical professional wrestling idol that Vince McMahon would have carved out of his brain to make it as a model professional wrestler. Daniel Bryan didn't fit that in any sense of the word, but that's what made him great, was just the grassroots support for Daniel Bryan and the complete rejection of a Batista-Randy Orton match that honestly would have been a stinker had Daniel Bryan not been interjected into that match. All right, so take a quick break, and then we're going to continue with our list, and I think you'll like our next one, so stay right here. So are you guys into Marvel Comics? I got to admit, I am. And if you love Marvel, then you're going to love the t-shirts at vinlux.com. That's VINLUXX.com. And the Instagram account is at t-shirt.vinlux, VINLUXX. Right now, you can go to this website and you can buy t-shirts from any of the Marvel comics like Iron Man or the Avengers or Doctor Strange, even John Wick. There are so many cool designs, and the t-shirts are very, very reasonably priced. It's not your typical $25, $30 a t-shirt. These are high-quality t-shirts, really cool. Satisfaction's guaranteed. They ship worldwide, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. So check out vinlux.com. That's VINLUXX.com. Okay, welcome back. And number four, let's jump into it, is No Way Out 2001. And when you look at what this card was, it really was centered around one match. And it was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Triple H in a 2 out of 3 falls match that really may have been the best 2 out of 3 falls match that I've ever seen. It was so damn good. I remember the build to this because Stone Cold and Triple H had been feuding for quite some time after it was revealed that Triple H was behind, not driving the vehicle that Austin was in, but had a hand in getting Rikishi the keys to get Austin run over, which ultimately led to his surgery, and he was out for 6-8 months, whatever it was on his neck. So it was just a great feud. Triple H is still one of the best heels in the business. I mean, he was... When you look back at the last 20 years, Triple H is in top three in the heels department. I mean, he was just so good. And you wanted to see Austin absolutely kill him. And that's almost what Austin did. But that was the psychology of that match was so damn good. When you look at how they built this, right? They built it as, and this is just called step by step by step. It was a straight wrestling match into a street fight and then into a steel cage. It was just so well done. Obviously, Triple H won the match. Spoiler alert from 18 years ago. And we had Stone Cold beat Triple H in the first fall with a stunner. Second fall went to Triple H. Third fall went to Triple H. But it was because of just sheer dumb luck that Austin had a 2x4 wrapped in barbed wire, and Triple H had a sledgehammer. They both hit each other in the head at the same time. Austin went down first, and Triple H just collapsed on top of him and ended up beating Austin. But both men seemed to be passed out in the middle of the ring. After the match, Austin still delivers a stunner to Triple H just for good measure. And it was just so well done. And so it made total sense that this match would happen. I know this is not the only match on the card, but it is, to me, one of the best 2 out of 3 fall matches. And I'll give you guys a little bit of audio from that, because now I'm like itching to hear it and see it again. And the other really good match was The Rock defeating Kurt Angle for the WWF Championship that year. That was an extremely good match. Kurt Angle at his prime, The Rock in his prime, and you had Kurt Angle drop the belt to The Rock, so that we had The Rock go into WrestleMania as the champion. And just absolutely amazing. Loved this. We had Steven Richards defeat Jerry Lawler. Dudley Boys defeated the Brothers of Destruction as Kane and Undertaker and Edge and Christian in a triple threat tag team tables match for the WWF Tag Team Championship. We had Stephanie McMahon Helmsley defeat Trish Stratus. Chris Jericho defeated Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and X-Pac in a fatal four-way match for the WWF Intercontinental Championship. Big Show defeated Raven in a hardcore match for the WWF Hardcore Championship. And Rikishi defeating Matt Hardy by disqualification in a singles match. So that was the card. Imagine that, folks. 8 matches. Not 18. 8. That's what it should be. It's digestible. It's watchable. And you're leaving wanting more. When is the last time you watched a wrestling event and were left wanting more and going, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next week? Yeah, I don't know either. It's just, more is not better. More is not better. It may be better monetarily, so you can get more ads in, but it is not always better. But check this out. No Way Out 2001 was the prelude to WrestleMania 17. It was, I think, one of the best wrestling matches, wrestling-focused matches, because the stories made sense, and it was amazing. It took place at the Thomas and Mack Center in Paradise, Nevada. And it was, again, just absolutely amazing. And I'm going to give you guys just a quick little bit of audio, because I need to hear it. I need to see it. I'm feeling it. And I'm going to give you a little bit of that audio from Austin and Triple H.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
TheBookie.co is a free daily sports betting newsletter that provides sports bettors with sports betting tips, tools, resources, and strategies. Each day, TheBookie sends you an email with all the sports betting information you need to know for the day. Join the newsletter for free at TheBookie.co. Get free sports betting tools, resources, and free sports picks every single day directly to your inbox. Just visit www.thebookie.co. That's thebookie.co, and sign up for free today. That's www.thebookie.co.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
And that's just a little bit of the audio. That's obviously the conclusion of the match of their three stages of hell. I forgot that's what it was. The three stages of hell. And I believe that this was also a match that was so anticipated because they couldn't touch each other for weeks. They signed a contract of which they could not touch each other leading into this pay-per-view. Just so well done. The anticipation is just amazing. These two always had a great chemistry together, I think. And having Triple H win that match was surprising, given that there was no interference. It was just a straight-up match, and it just you could pin it on luck that Triple H beat Austin in that match. And it was, again, yeah, it was not just that match. Obviously, Angle was in that match. Angle and Rock had a great match, and it was a prelude to WrestleMania 17. And so awesome, awesome stuff. All right, number three, SummerSlam 2002. Headlined by Brock Lesnar versus The Rock for the Undisputed Championship. This was a really good paper, memorable in so many different ways. Obviously, Brock Lesnar defeating The Rock, which was shocking to me. I was angry about it. I had some of my friends who loved Brock Lesnar. To me, he was the newcomer who didn't deserve it yet, at least at the time, right? This is 17 years ago. At the time, I said that, you know, the no way that Brock is going to beat Rock fair. It did not make sense to me. And the crowd turned on The Rock during this match. And I think it spoke to, hey, like, Rock, we've seen everything you have to offer here. It's time for a new entity to take that top spot. And we've seen you here. You're starting to transition to Hollywood. You know, you're kind of spitting the same game week after week. You know, we're getting a little tired of you. And Brock was very unique. He had just debuted months earlier and was a monster of a man, and was so unique and so athletic and believable. And had the credentials that, you know, they shoved down our throats about how many times he was an NCAA champion, a two-time NCAA champion, all that. It was amazing that they were able to capture this guy and bring him in. And I just remember being so angry that he beat Rock fair and square and clean. And I was just so angry about it as how old was I? 18? I think I was 18, 19. I don't know, 2002, but around that age. And I was just, so frustrated. And I was so behind The Rock at that point still. I wasn't one of those that turned on The Rock yet. I was still a huge Rock fan. So that really was very memorable. In addition to that was Shawn Michaels defeating Triple H in an unsanctioned street fight, where it was Shawn Michaels' first official match in WWE since 98. At WrestleMania 14, when he was defeated by Stone Cold Steve Austin. And the build to this match was that Shawn Michaels was attacked in the parking lot, and we couldn't see who the assailant was. It ended up being Triple H. Shawn challenged Triple H to a match, and he accepted at SummerSlam. And these two had a hell of a match, and it was Shawn Michaels' second win in his career, in one in which he ended up continuing for another 7 years, 8 years or so, before he finally hung up the boots. And no, Crown Jewel does not count. Does not count in my mind. So that was a very good match, very strategically laid. And the conclusion of that match was just brutal. And I'm going to let you guys listen to the conclusion of the Shawn Michaels Triple H unsanctioned street fight right now. And that was the last, 15 seconds of the match. And Shawn Michaels ended up defeating Triple H, but Triple H, as a sore loser, tried to cripple Shawn Michaels, hitting him in the back with a sledgehammer, and I think that was their creative way out if Sean was unable to continue his career. I think he used this as kind of a test run, and I think it was a pretty successful one, but that was their out. Had they wanted to say that Triple H ended his career, they could have done that. But very smart booking there, and a match in and of itself was amazing. It's like Shawn Michaels didn't miss a step. And it added to the sadistic nature that is and was Triple H, the cerebral assassin, back in the early 2000s. And that was a very memorable match and one that I won't forget either. And so the other matches on the card, in case you're curious, were Spike Dudley defeating Steven Richards. Kurt Angle defeated Rey Mysterio by submission. Ric Flair defeated Chris Jericho by submission. Edge defeated Eddie Guerrero in a singles match. The Un-Americans, remember the Un-Americans? Defeated Booker T and Goldust. Rob Van Dam defeated Chris Benoit. The Undertaker defeated Test. And then obviously we have the top two main events of Shawn and Triple H and Lesnar and Rock. So that's my number three. Number two, WrestleMania 21. This took place on, let me get the date here, April 3rd, 2005, from the Staples Center in LA. And this was a loaded card. Let me start from the top here. I'm not going to just jump to the main event. Booker T won by eliminating Chris Masters in a 30-man interpromotional battle royal. And Rey Mysterio defeated Eddie Guerrero. Boy, remember that whole storyline? That was just, man, anytime these two got in the ring, I mean, it was pure magic. Rey Mysterio still gets any chance. Eddie just, he will just not, the fans just can't forget Eddie. I mean, there's certain times where you have wrestlers pass away and we can do a nice little tribute and we chant their name on that day and do a video package. And then it's no disrespect, but they just kind of are lost in the sauce and just kind of, oh, well, that's sad. But Eddie Guerrero sticks around. Eddie Guerrero is a guy that is forever just in our, and I don't mean to be wishy-washy and just cliche, but he's in our hearts forever. Just something about Eddie Guerrero just was just magnetic and stuck in your head, and he just related to you, and he knew how to make you feel. And so Rey Mysterio defeating Eddie Guerrero in a 12-minute match, I think, honestly, I remember watching that saying that it could have gone longer, but it was so well done. The storyline was amazing. So moving on, Edge defeated Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, and Christian, Kane, and Shelton Benjamin. It was a Money in the Bank ladder match when they actually had Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. So yeah, it wasn't its own pay-per-view back then. The Undertaker defeated Randy Orton in a singles match. That was one of the first times I said, oh my God, the streak is dead. When Randy Orton turned a chokeslam attempt from The Undertaker into a RKO. And he was on a legend killer streak at that point. He was the up-and-comer. I said he has a real shot. And he ended up coming within an eyelash of beating The Undertaker. Obviously didn't. And we move on here. And so Trish Stratus defeated Christy Hemme in a singles match for the WWE Women's Championship. Kurt Angle defeated Shawn Michaels by submission. Amazing. My God, that is still viewed as one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. He lived up to the Mr. WrestleMania, and Kurt Angle and him had a match for the ages. Obviously, Shawn Michaels a few years later at WrestleMania 25 tore the house down with The Undertaker at in Houston. It was amazing. That match is... WrestleMania 25 with Shawn and Undertaker might be the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. To me, it might even surpass Rock Austin. And, you know, maybe I'll do a countdown on WrestleMania matches, not to spoil anything, but it could be my number one. Stay tuned. Maybe I don't want to give the cat out of the bag here, but, all right, moving on. Aki Bono defeated Big Show in a sumo match. Yeah, I'm rolling my eyes with you. John Cena defeated JBL in a singles match for the WWE Championship. And Batista defeated Triple H with Ric Flair in a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. So the top two there, John Cena defeating JBL, that cemented John Cena as the next guy in WWE, and that sure held true. And Batista defeating Triple H, that was the storyline, if you remember, of Triple H just demeaning Batista behind his back and Batista standing outside the locker room and hearing Triple H and knowing that Triple H's his intentions are not good for Batista, and Batista's, you know, Triple H viewed Batista as kind of the big, dumb muscle guy that that he could manipulate. And Batista ended up cementing his legacy, defeating Triple H at WrestleMania in a very good match, I think. I remember it was very physical, and hats off to both guys there. So overall, top to bottom, other than the blunder of eye-rollingness of sumo matches, you had Batista defeat Triple H. I mean, Kurt Angle, Michaels, this is just, wow, all-star lineup here. Undertaker, Orton, all of it. Those three matches, in and of itself, I would have paid the price for back then. When you paid, what, $50-$60 for WrestleMania, would have been worth the price of admission. So if you haven't seen that, if you haven't seen WrestleMania 21 when they went Hollywood, you really are doing a disservice to yourself as a wrestling fan. It is, it's amazing. Check it out. And you trust me, have I steered you wrong yet? Have I steered you wrong? Trust me, I know it's not the PG era, so there might be blood, there might be a little bit of swearing, okay? So hopefully, you know, you're not too sensitive and you'll be able to absorb that, but you will. All right, let's get to number one. WrestleMania 17 took place in Houston, Texas, and yeah, this isn't probably the most surprising to some people, and it is viewed as by many as the greatest WrestleMania of all time, but with good reason. I think with very good reason. Number one, it had the best, maybe the best main event of all time, of Austin Rock. This was the second time that these two had met, and they completely, it wasn't even a home run. It's like they knocked it out of the stadium. It was just, I can't even describe how good this match was with Austin and Rock. They had 28 minutes to go here, and Austin defeated The Rock in a no disqualification match. And this obviously was when Stone Cold turned heel. And oh, don't worry, I'll give you some audio in just a minute. It was just so good, so good. And yeah, this is a bit of a top heavy pay per view. All right, Austin and Rock by themselves made this the greatest pay-per-view of all time. We had Undertaker defeat Triple H. Shane McMahon defeated Mr. McMahon with Stephanie and Trish. China defeated Ivory. Kurt Angle defeated Chris Benoit. Eddie Guerrero defeated Test. Kane defeated Raven and Big Show. Taz and the APA defeated Right to Censor. Oh, God, RTC. Which was Bowlby Cannon, the Godfather, or the, excuse me, the Good Father, and Val Venus with Steven Richards. Chris Jericho defeated William Regal. X Factor, which is Justin Credible, and X-Pac, defeated Grandmaster Sexay and Steve Blackman. The Iron Sheik won by last eliminating Hillbilly Jim in a gimmick battle royal. And Edge and Christian defeated the Dudley Boys, the Hardy Boys, and that's it. Okay, that was a triple threat. So it was a TLC match, which was, that may have been their best TLC match of all time, too. I mean, when Jeff Hardy did the Swanton Bomb off of that 20-foot ladder, it was breathtaking. It's still etched in my mind forever. He did it on, like, the ramp of the arena, of the stadium. It's just crazy, crazy. And so you take the best TLC match to date of all time. You take Triple H Undertaker. You take Stone Cold and The Rock. Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. Or I'm sorry, Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit. Eddie defeated Test. It was just so many just classic matches. Obviously headlined by Austin and Rock. But it was just so well produced that I remember it wasn't too long of a pay-per-view. There were 12 matches compared to, my God, did we have close to 20 this year? It was just the pacing was good. The storylines were just so well done. It was critically acclaimed and was, again, if you haven't seen WrestleMania 17, you're probably not listening to this podcast, because it is and was the best WrestleMania of all time, at least in many people's eyes and mine. So without any further ado, listening to me ramble on about how good this pay-per-view was, let's get to a little bit of audio from this pay-per-view. Yeah, you know I'm going to Austin Rock, so here we go. And now, obviously, we have Austin attempting to turn heel. Man, I just got lost in that moment. It was like watching Austin turn and the crowd get completely immersed in every single move. The Rock not quitting after getting hit with his own finishing maneuver, after getting hit with a Stone Cold Stunner, after getting hit with a chair in the head when chair shots were still a thing. And I kind of miss them, to be honest with you. And just taking a complete ass-whipping by Stone Cold Steve Austin and continue to kick out. And Austin going on record how many times saying that he wish he would just had told McMahon, hey, watch the stunner, and he would have just dropped Vince McMahon right there. And instead of doing the whole heel turn that was, let's be honest, not successful. And by Austin's own admission, he would have said the same thing. But it was a WrestleMania that was extremely memorable and headlined by none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock in a part two of their three-part series. And maybe I'll talk about the WrestleMania 19 sometime. There's just so much I haven't discussed with you guys that I really need to. I mean, there's just so much stuff, right? But maybe I'll get to that another time. So that's my top five, guys, and you probably don't agree, and that's cool. That's what this is. This platform's for, and that's what discussion's for. So I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. What is your top five? I mean, you don't need to destroy mine because we already know you don't agree. But what are your top five WWE pay-per-views of all time, and why? Just I'd love to know. Tweet me or DM me on Twitter or email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. And I'd love to know, because I'm curious as to what everybody is just thinking. I'm sure I missed some things that, if I'd known that, or I forgot about that, you know, maybe it would have changed some of my selections. But all right, so that's my wrestling nostalgia segment, really top five wrestling nostalgia segment for the week. Again, I will be back tomorrow. I'll be back Tuesday. I'll be back Wednesday and Thursday. And by the time Thursday rolls around, you're going to probably be sick of hearing from me. That's why we're bringing in a co-host to really water down my voice and to make sure you guys don't get too much of me. But it's an experiment. I want to see how things go this week. Maybe it'll be a full-time deal. Maybe I will be here 5 days a week. We'll see. But again, I'm going to run a pretty rigid schedule as to what I want to discuss every day, and not just kind of like flap in the wind. But I, you know, if you listen to the top of the show, I gave you my quick outline of how I want to structure everything. So, all right, well, guys, thank you so much.
for supporting the show. It's a really, really much appreciated action you guys take every time you like or subscribe or give me that 5-star rating. It really is noticed and it's appreciated. So continue to please do that if you have a moment. And continue to check out the website at WWEpodcast.com. If you have any suggestions, please throw them my way. A lot of time, effort, and money was put into this project, so I'd love to hear your feedback on it. And thank you for continuing to make this a successful podcast / website / fan interaction show. And I know that this is just the beginning of things, and I really believe that. I think this is going to be a pretty big deal down the line. So, guys, thank you so much. Again, I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.